Well, if you would tonight, take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11, and I want to bring to a conclusion the message we started on Sunday night. And I want you to look with me as we're looking at the life of Moses. Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll begin our reading here in verse number 24. And we looked at some action words through Hebrews 11 regarding the life and faith of Moses. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Verse 28, "Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Now look with me. The Bible says in verse 24, "By faith, Moses, when he's come to years, refused." What did Moses do? He was raised as the prince in Egypt. But when he came to age, when he was able to make his own decision, he refused the world. He refused. The Bible says in verse 25, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction." Now, what did Moses have to choose from? He had two choices. He could go the route of the world and have the luxuries of a lifetime, or he could go with the Lord and have the glories of eternity. And he made the right choice, and I hope you are. He chose rather to suffer affliction. Verse 26, the Bible says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." What did he do? He esteemed. He weighed them out. He said, "You know what? I'm just going to make a consideration here. What's better? What's better, eternal reward with Jesus forever or the glories and the privileges of the world?" And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Faith esteems. Look what else he did. Verse 29, 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt." He forsook Egypt. Now it looks almost the same as verse 24. The difference is it's 40 years later. In verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He said no. But 40 years later, at the age of 80, he walks into Egypt and he has an opportunity to make a decision, and he has the responsibility to make the decision to once again say no to the world. I'll just have you know something. The temptations that the devil throws at us, they do not disappear. They don't get, I wouldn't say they get easier. The closer we get to Jesus, the easier it is to say no. But even at 80 years old, guess what Moses had to do? He had to forsake Egypt. Verse 27, the Bible says, "He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured." Faith forsakes, faith endures. What did he do? Was it always easy for Moses? No. It was hard. It was difficult. It was taxing. It took lots of patience. But he endured. And as we've studied these things, we look at them, that faith refuses, chooses, esteems, forsakes, endures. It brings us to the last two, and they really like the crowning jewel of Moses' faith. The first one, verse 28, we'll spend just a few minutes on. The Bible says, "Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Now, Moses had an understanding that there was some purpose for the shedding of innocent blood in the system that God had developed. Moses would have written for us the Genesis account, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, and the account of Adam and Eve falling into sin, and the covering was the shedding of the blood of an innocent animal, and the covering was skin. The fig leaves and the leaves didn't suffice. There was shedding of blood, and Moses would have had an understanding. But you've got to remember, at this moment in history, the sacrificial system wasn't in play, but God was showing himself, and he was picturing and pointing to the coming of the Messiah. He's pointing to the cross where an innocent lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, would die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And it was first shown here in emblem and sign at the Passover. And the Passover is the time that the plagues of Egypt have come and gone, and every time Pharaoh is about to let the Israelites free from Egypt, his heart is hardened, and he says, no. Finally, Moses gives him a warning. He says, oh, Pharaoh, God's told me that if you or any other household in this nation do not kill the spotless lamb and take its blood with a hyssop, like a brush, weeds that they'd made a brush out of, and with the hyssop, and paint the doorpost of your house with the blood of an innocent lamb. If you do not do that, if there's not a sacrifice made, your firstborn will die. Your firstborn will die. What did Moses do? Moses did what was right. Faith, by faith, he kept the Passover. It didn't make perfect sense to him at the time. But by faith, he kept the Passover. God said, do it, and Moses did it. And when you do what God tells you to do, you leave the results up to God, who has control of those things, and it's wonderful, the results that God leaves you with. Moses applied the blood. And when he applied the blood, that night when the death angel passed over that city, every home where the blood was applied, the firstborn lived to tell the story. And every home where the blood was not applied, death entered into that home. The firstborn was gone. The firstborn died. You see, the old hymn that I learned to sing just as a little boy, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What did Moses do? He obeyed God. He applied the blood. And it was the blood that set the people apart. Moses obeyed and God kept his word. I'm so encouraged when I read this. You know, it's easy to doubt our salvation. If there's been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, you know that you've been saved, you have no reason to doubt. You have no reason to fear. The Bible teaches us there are things specifically written that we can know that we have everlasting life. Now, I've had seasons of doubt, and most Christians have. But here's the bottom line. If God says it, you can trust it. We begin to introspect, and we begin to think, what if I didn't do this right? What if I haven't done this right? And it's I, me, me. And quite frankly, I, me, me, and you can't be trusted. We can't be trusted. We can't earn our way to everlasting life, but I'll tell you, Jesus Christ can be trusted, and God's word can be rested in and trusted in. And when Moses kept the Passover, guess what happened? The death angel passed over. The Bible says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. When he applied the blood, guess what? He that destroyed the firstborn did not touch them. And folks, I'll have you know something. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can rest in the fact that Jesus Christ has saved your soul, he's promised to give you everlasting life, and he will. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save you. He has saved you if you've called on him. And we can rest in the Lord. Something I love about God is this. The Bible says of our Savior, that God is not the author of confusion, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you spend your life wringing your hands, it's not something that God sent. It's not something that God sent. Now, Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. He likes to muddy the waters. But God, our Lord, our Savior, he is the author of a sound mind. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And I can't finish it, but God can. He can. And Moses, what did he do? Obeyed God. By faith, he kept the Passover. What'd God do? Kept His word. Folks, if you'll rest in the Lord Jesus, you can have this promise that He'll keep His word. He'll keep His word. He can be trusted. By faith, Moses kept. Faith keeps. And the final one in this listing where we get our message tonight, verse 29. The Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. I love this story, and I love this time in the Exodus of the children of Israel. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. When I read this passage of Scripture, I began to think about it and pray through it. God led me in my thinking to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. I'd encourage you to look there for just a minute. And we're going to be backing up. We're going from Hebrews to Psalms, and then we're going to land in Exodus. But I want you to look with me in Psalms, in the Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 begins with a declaration that God knows us. I'm thankful that God knows me. But what's exciting for me is that God knows me and still loves me. But God knows you. The Bible says in Psalm 139:1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. There are several things here that encourage me. And as I think about what the writer of the Hebrews said about Moses, he said of Moses that Moses and the children of Israel, through faith, passed through the Red Sea. They passed through, they were successful, God blessed them. And when I think about how all that went down, the first thing that comes to my mind is this beautiful verse. The Bible says in verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. That word compassest, it's got the same, it's a covering. It's a all the way around. God's got you covered. And He covers us. He takes care of us. He protects us. And as the nation of Israel was passing, leaving Egypt, being pursued by an angry mob of Egyptians led by the Pharaoh, when things were difficult, when things were tough, when they had stepped out in faith and done the right thing, but it looks like as the armies of Egypt are gathering and gaining on them, that they may meet their demise, God had them compassed about. The Bible says in the same portion of Scripture, He says that Thou hast beset me behind. It's like God's holding me up in the back. You've beset me behind. He says, and You've beset me before. He's in front of you. And You've laid Thy hand upon me. I remember when my boys were younger, it still happens some. But sometimes a loving father has to get in front and say, hold on. And I say, whoa. Sometimes a loving father has to say, let's go, and get behind. And sometimes a loving father has to take this big paw right here and put it right on their head and clamp down and turn them wherever you want them to go. Well, that's what God does for us. And I'm encouraged by that. You see, as the writer of the Hebrews is putting the cherry on the top of the faith of Moses, he reminds us that it was God that helped the nation of Israel get through one of the most trying, difficult, dangerous, suspenseful moments of their whole existence. It was God that was there. And through faith, they passed through. They passed through. I'm fascinated by a little saying that God leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He don't lead you to it and say, huh, go get them, boys. He leads you through it. And that's what God did for the nation of Israel. And for just a few minutes, I want to share with you something from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. It's the conclusion of Moses' faith, according to in the book of Hebrews. Faith passes through, and I want you to look with me in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll just begin reading here in verse number 1. I'm going to read 19 verses with you, but it lays the groundwork for what's going on here, and I think you'll see the story. It's wonderful. Moses and the children of Israel, and God's having a conversation with Moses and letting Moses know, listen, Moses, what we were going to do when we leave Egypt, we're going to, instead of turning left the way that Pharaoh thinks we will and thinks we should, the easier route, he says, we're turning right. We're turning right, and Pharaoh's going to think that we're a big bunch of dummies because we're going straight towards the Red Sea. But he says, Moses, we're going to show him. Oh, my, we're going to show him. And the first point I want to make in this section, in this message, is this. God sees before. God had a plan, and God was working on behalf of the nation of Israel and Moses before they even knew what was going on. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea over against Beelzephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Beelzephon. Now at this moment, verse number 9, here's what's happened. Just exactly what God said. God said, Moses, take a right out of Egypt, and we're going to trick Pharaoh. Now God sees before. God knows things that we could never possibly know. And God has a clear understanding of the future, and we should put our confidence and trust in Him. So what did Moses do? Just like Moses had kept the Passover, now Moses obeyed the Lord, and he leads the nation of Israel, instead of turning left out of Egypt and going the way that the world thought they should have gone, he hung a right. And when he went right, just as God had said, Pharaoh said, aha, these Israelites are going to entangle themselves in the wilderness. And he got his heart hard and mad. He said, they've done all this to us. We're not letting this happen. He gathered up a big army of men. And in great anger and rage, he pursued after the people of God. But God was at work. God was moving. God was on the throne. God was in charge. And God's plan was in work. I want you to be reminded of something. When we get to verse number 9, at this time, the people that are in the back of the Israeli line, the back of the group as they're making their way, some people believe 6 million people were in this march. I have no reason to doubt them. But the people that are in the back of the crowd, they begin to see in the distance off in the horizon the dust rising. And they begin to be able to see and make out what it might be. And they're like, oh no. Pharaoh's going to get us, and he's gaining on us. He's moving a lot faster than we're moving. He's moving a lot faster toward us, and we're moving away. And the Red Sea's just ahead. I can just imagine the back of this big mob. The word spreads really quickly. Have you ever noticed that worry and faithlessness and fretting, those type of words and stories, man, they were like a wave over the crowd. Whoosh! I mean, it was just a half a second, and that message got all the way to the front lines. They're gaining on us. Well, that's how we are. We like to talk about things that are worrisome and fretful and faithless. But God was at work, and God sees ahead. He understands. He sees what's happening. Verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Can you look at this smart aleck? He says, what, Moses? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here so we could die in this wilderness. What, didn't you want to stink up Egypt or something with all of our dead carcasses? Smart aleck, faithless, cold, unkind. Can you imagine those words going to the heart of a man that loved them and given their lives to them? And he's leading them toward God, and God's at work, and God's done exactly what he said he's going to do every time. And that person, cold-hearted and faithless, looks at Moses and says something snide like, what, was there not enough graves in Egypt? The Bible continues, wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And that guy just keep, those folks just keep pounding it on. He said, it had been better for us to die as servants in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness. Give us a break. We told you, Moses, it was a bad idea. Oh, man. Faithless cowards. The Bible continues in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, I love the response of Moses. You know how Moses responded? He didn't respond in like suit. He didn't respond to them with some kind of smart aleck, snide, empty, cold-hearted remark. You know what he said? He said, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. What did he say? He said, stand still and let God fight for you. He will. Verse 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Here's what's happening. The people are all nervous, and Moses sends out a message. Hey, look, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for us. All the while, the nation of Israel, the armies of Israel, of Egypt, are gaining on the mob of people that are now piling in on the coast of the Red Sea. They're pushing them in. I can just imagine the people in the front of the line beginning to get their feet wet, maybe. I mean, they're beginning to get pushed. And God, who's always working ahead, God, who's always working ahead, he says, Moses, stretch out your rod. And when Moses stretched out his rod, one of the most amazing things you've ever imagined, stretch out your rod and tell them to keep moving forward. He stretched out his rod. It wasn't a shallow place in the Red Sea. It was right in the middle. When he stretched out his rod, God sucked the bottom dry. And I can imagine walls of water wide enough to move 6 million people through it, stood on their heads and stood in attention to the God of the universe who created them, and God's people began to march through on dry ground. What happens? I want you to know something. You find yourself in a season where you're trusting God, and you're trying to believe in God, you're trying to rest in God, but you get to the place where you're up against it. You're up against the Red Sea, and you know that the enemy and the problem is gaining on you quickly. I just want to remind you of something, that God is always working ahead of you. Where you are is no surprise to God. Where you are is no surprise to God. Do not turn your back on God. Do not turn back to the world. There were groups of those people in Egypt who said, we've had all we want. We'd be better off just being servants to the Egyptians. There were groups of them that said, forget this. I'm not going to stay with God's people. I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going to go back on my hands and knees begging Pharaoh, don't hurt me. I'll serve you. And the devil loves it every time we give up on God. That's the only way that he can have the victory. He can't have the victory over God, but he can have the victory when you give it to him. Just be reminded of something. When you get up against it, God sees before. Number two, God comes between. Now, he compasses us, remember? He compasses us. He sees before. He knew what was going to happen, how it all unfold. But he also comes between. Here's what the Bible says, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood between behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What happened? Now, God had had a pillar of cloud. Remember the pillar of cloud? It was leading his people. It was leading his people. And some people thought, God's leading them right to judgment, right into the Red Sea. But God had a plan because he sees before. And when God's people got up against it, and things began to get difficult, and they thought, we've only got a few minutes before the Egyptians get here. What did God do? He moved his Shekinah glory. He moved that cloud. He moved it from in front to between. He set his glory right between his people and the Egyptians. The Egyptians couldn't penetrate it. The Egyptians couldn't fight it. The Egyptians didn't have an option. They had to stop. You know what encourages me? God comes between. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. What's he do? And he stands between me and what wants to hurt me and stop me and change me and move me out of the path and will and plan of God. We get to times when we're up against it. Charles Spurgeon said, learn to kiss the wave that crashes you into the Savior. Learn to kiss it. And that wave of Egyptians coming this way, all it did was prove that God would come between and sat himself and protect his people. I'm so thankful to know that God, he compasses us about. He goes before us. He comes between us. Number three, he goes ahead of us. I love verse 20. I want to back up, and here's how it came. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What did God do? God made one side of this big cloud to be light for Israel. He left a night light on for them so they could be encouraged and feel safe. And he made the other side for the Egyptians dark. Dark. He comes between us, but he goes ahead of us. Look, the Bible says in verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptian. God goes ahead of us. What happened? As the nation of Israel began to walk into the Red Sea, it parted, and the walls grew high. And God was at work the whole time. One of the most exciting pictures in this whole story that God's put in my little pea brain is when the Bible says right there that God looks through the pillar and sees the Egyptians kind of pushing through the clouds. And God from heaven goes, and they're riding right along in their best chariots, and wheels are just spinning, and God goes, and the wheels fall off, It looks like the Three Stooges or something, you know. All of a sudden, the wheels just went, they fell right off. And the Bible says they're driving hard. I like it. God's at work. You know, God's at work. God's always going before us. God is taking care of us. And you know, God can cause the wheels to fall off of the devil's plan. And God can cause the wheels to fall off of the worst of your nightmares and fears. And God's able to take away that sting and that fret and that fear. Just remember something. God goes ahead. He's working on our behalf. He goes ahead. And finally, God comes behind. Verse number 26. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Here's the picture that I have. They've come through on dry ground. Everybody's through. And God says, Moses, drop your rod. When Moses drops his rod, the Bible says that the seas go back to their strength. And the enemy is obliterated at the mighty hand of God. God's at work. God works behind. He works behind. He's so faithful. And God began to stir in the hearts of people, and they feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, I don't know where you are tonight. There's a lot of places in this story that you can identify, we can identify with. I hope that you're in the place of Moses, where you've been around long enough where you understand that by faith we've kept the Passover, and by faith we are going to pass through the way God said we would. I hope that's where you are. But you know where it's easy to find ourselves? It's easy to find ourselves like the nation of Israel. We're the ones that are sending the message of fear through the ranks. We're the one who is critical and faithless and unkind and cruel and empty and scared. I want you to know something. There has never been a promise that God made that he did not keep. Ever. And he's not going to fail you now. And I want to encourage you to do something. Have the faith of Moses. By faith, they passed through as on dry ground. And God took care of the enemy and took care of the problem. God says of himself, he says, I will compass you about. I'll take care of you. I love this verse. I quote it often. I never get tired of it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Guess what happens? By faith, Israel passed through. Guess what we've got the promise of? Victory. Victory. The victory we get doesn't always look like the victory we want. But every time we keep our faith in Christ and rest in him and trust his will and his word, we get what's best. And we rejoice in his faithfulness. What a mighty God we serve. By faith, they passed through as on dry ground. I'm excited about all the times in my life that I'm going to have the privilege of passing through. I'm up against it, but I'm going to have the privilege of seeing God over and over and over again help me pass through. help me pass through and meet the need. He's going to help you. You're going to pass through. It's going to be, he didn't lead you to it, he led you through. We're going to be able to pass through. I can testify, in my few short years as a Christian, I've seen God time and time and time and time again, when you come up against it, to bring you through. Guess what he's going to do today if you're up against it? He'll bring you through. Don't give up on him. Don't lose hope. Don't get critical and empty. Don't turn back to the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Through faith, they pass through. I'm thankful we have that promise. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's pray.